The Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. My dearest siblings in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Holy Creator and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. You know, one of the things I do as a pastor constantly, and this is being a student of theology, as well as a shepherd, is to wonder why people believe in God. I spend a lot of time thinking about this, looking at research, surveys that research groups have put forth, stuff like that, and really trying to understand what it is about believing in God that draws people in. And as I have looked at this through my seminary education and through my time here as your pastor, something, again, I'm just constantly looking out for, I've noticed a pattern. And that is that our belief in God typically has this transactional motive to it. Whether we're aware of it or not, there's some kind of a transaction that we feel is taking place between us and God because of our belief in God. And that transaction takes various different forms. And I know many of you have heard the term prosperity gospel. This is not something of our own theological lean, but it's definitely a big one out there in our country. This is the Joel Osteen camp. This kind of transaction is that if you believe in God, then you will be blessed materially in this lifetime. That's one of those transactions that take place. And Luther, being a theologian of the cross, of saying that we meet Jesus at the foot of Christ's cross, at the foot of our own cross and our own suffering, that's not something we typically espouse, but we still feel that there's some kind of a transaction happening, typically, when we believe in God. For us, it might be just that feeling of grace, that positive feeling we get in knowing that through our belief in God, we get to experience grace. This is not unsimilar to any other relationship we might have. I'm sure most of you are in the relationships you have because there's some kind of a transaction happening. You love your loved ones, your spouse, your partner, because they love you back. There's some kind of a transaction. Typically, when there isn't, we tend to cut those kinds of relationships out of our lives. Even when we are in these relationships that do not have this kind of beneficial transaction coming back to us, we still have this kind of sense that we're doing the right thing. There's still this kind of transaction happening. If you think about it, most of the church has this belief, this transactional belief. And I invite you to analyze that within yourself. Analyze the transactions that you experience in your own relationships. Analyze the transactions of your own personal theology with God. Why do you believe in God? Do you get something out of it? The reason I bring this up is because Jesus today highlights this poor widow. This woman who comes and donates everything that she has. And just to give you some perspective, this full sum of her money that she gives to the treasury is 1/64. 1/64 of a day's wage. That means for someone to go out and work for a full day, they will have earned enough money to just feed themselves for that day. This woman has just given 1/64 of that, and that was everything she owned. This is a Jewish woman who has been living in this covenant relationship with God, and it has not been blessing her by means or anything else like that. There is not a transaction happening here, folks. Yet this woman still does it. That is fascinating. Why? That's the same thing that I wonder. Why do people believe in God? Why would this woman do that? There's something deeply psychological and spiritual happening in this story, more than the material part of her giving. A lot of churches and a lot of pastors will use this text as part of their stewardship campaigns. Look, this poor woman gave everything she has, so why don't you just give a little bit more? No, there's something deeper happening here. And I want you to think about it this way. We, all of us, for the most part, we live in a space of abundance to a degree. When we look at ourselves compared to the rest of the world, we probably have more than most people, right? And so we look at the whole sum of what we have, whatever that is, and then we take a portion of it, and we say, this part's for God, right here. And it could be a small percentage, or it could be a bigger percentage, but it's still just this one portion that's for God, and we give it to the church. Please keep doing that. We're grateful. But then we have this whole other portion that we keep for ourselves. That's ours. That's mine. Vesper just learned the word mine a week ago. It's terrifying. But here's the psychological and the spiritual part. What happens if you don't have that whole? What happens if you show up and that doesn't exist for you, but you still want to give to God? If you don't have that portion there to give from, what do you give? That is what this poor widow was faced with. She has nothing left to give, so what does she give? That is what Jesus is pointing out for us today, folks. She has nothing left to give, so she gives the only thing she can. And the only thing that she can give is the only thing that God truly wants from us, and that is her whole self. She, because she doesn't have this abundance, because she doesn't have this stuff, gives the only thing left that she does have, her whole self, to God. And as Jesus highlights, this is the one thing that God wants from all of us. Now, it's easy to look at this and talk about the money portion. But what we don't realize is that we do this with our call as Christians too. We take the whole call that Jesus gives to us as Christians, the whole call that says you're supposed to forgive people, the whole call that says you're supposed to take care of the poor and the oppressed and the marginalized, the whole call that says you're supposed to stand up for justice, the whole call that says you are stewards of this earth and you're supposed to be caring for this planet. We take that entire call and then we take a portion of it and we say, here's the portion of that call that I'm going to participate in. Here's the spaces in my life that I'm going to enact forgiveness and justice and love and compassion and stewardship. But the rest of it, that's mine. That's where I'm going to continue to harbor resentment. That's where I'm going to continue to politicize justice and compassion. That's where I'm going to say, screw the planet. We do it with just a portion of our lives and keep the rest for ourselves. Peter Rollins is a philosopher I follow, and this is a story some of you have heard if you've been to the Lenten suppers we did last Lent. But he tells a parable, a story of a priest who was given a unique gift that he discovered early on in his career, and that was the gift of being able to take people's faith away every time he prayed with them. It horrified him at first to pray with someone and then to watch suddenly as all of their convictions just went out the window. It terrified him to the point that he said he wasn't going to do it anymore. Instead, he was going to focus on trying to give inspirational sermons and just doing good works. Well, one day this priest was traveling long distance on a train reading his Bible, and while he was, a very shrewd, wealthy businessman saw him and came over and sat next to him and asked him about his profession. And he said, "Yes, I am a priest." And this businessman just struck up a conversation and said, I too am a Christian, but I'm also this very powerful businessman. My adversaries respect me. My colleagues admire me. I have to make these very, very tough decisions. And I'll tell you, in my line of work, it's hard to know my faith. But still, I go to church every Sunday. I participate in a prayer group. I serve on my council. I help out with the youth group when I can. But again, it's tough in my line of work because I have to make very difficult decisions. It was in this moment that the priest finally understood the purpose of his gift. And he looked at the businessman and he said, "May I pray with you?" And of course, just as the prayer finished, all of this businessman's religious convictions went out the window. The prophets, Jesus, the letters, the faith. He looked up at the businessman and he said to him, "How could I have been so foolish?" Sorry, he looked up at the priest and said that. "How could I have been so foolish? There's no divine ordinance for life. There's nothing directing us. There's no sacred scriptures for us. I can't believe that." And with that, they both got off the train and departed. But then the businessman no longer had his faith, and so the only thing he was faced with was the fact that he was a shrewd businessman. The only thing left in his life was the decisions he had to make that adversely affected the people who worked for him and the people around him. He couldn't take it anymore, and after a few months, he had a breakdown and he quit. And then shortly after that, he decided to give all of the wealth he had accumulated to the poor. And then he started feeling really good. Because he worked in a business that had hurt people, he turned around and decided to advocate for the same people that his business had started to hurt, to work for justice. Years later, as he was going back to that very same train station, he found the priest again. He couldn't believe it, and he ran up and he fell down on his knees and he began to weep. And then he looked up after weeping for a while at the priest and he said, "Thank you. Thank you, my friend, for helping me discover my faith." I'm not sure why you believe in God. I don't know what it is that brings you here on Sunday. I'm not entirely sure why anybody believes in God. But I'll tell you this, if we can just surrender to this call, if we can just surrender ourselves to loving people, and that's it, just love people, just care for the poor. Who cares where they're coming from? Who cares what got them there? Just care for them. Take care of this planet. I don't care what science you believe in. Just care for this planet because God tells us to. And just love each other and seek peace. Just surrender to it. If we can do that, I know in here and out there, this world starts to look a little bit better. Amen. Please stand as you are able.